Let's go to the Lord again in prayer. Heavenly Father, once again we come to Thee asking for Your strength, for Your wisdom, for Your understanding, that we might bring forth those things from Thy Word that will be beneficial to the saints and all who hear. More importantly, we pray that it would be to Your honor and to Your glory. We live in a world of mass confusion. And sometimes it seems like all of that is by design. But You know, our God, and we know that wisdom and power belong unto You. We really don't know how to express our gratitude and appreciation for all that You are. And for all that You do. We don't know how much we will be able to understand when we are with You in glory. But I'm thankful that I can safely say without contradiction that we shall know far, far better and understand in a broader and greater capacity of Your being. Help us as we look at Your Word again and pray that You would, as it were, put meat on the bones. We have our skeleton. But unless You bless it to be food and nourishment to the souls of the saints, it'll be just the preacher having his say and everyone going on their merry way. Thank You once again for being there, for hearing our cries and our petitions through the righteousness of another, Thy darling Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we pray. Amen. We have been looking at various things regarding the power of God. And we have seen that in many ways man is sustained by the power of God. And He keeps us and upholds us in many ways. God has the power to forgive sins, heal sicknesses, and cast out devils and many other things of like nature. Let's go first of all to Mark chapter 2. I know you know these truths and know pretty much the illustration or examples we're going to bring to our attention in the Word. But I believe it's always good to look at the Word itself because at least we know when we're looking and reading and studying that, we're studying that which is right and not just the words of another man. Here we find, let's begin in verse 8. And immediately when Jesus perceived in His spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, He said unto them, Why reason these things in your hearts? See, He had the power to know what they were thinking. Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, and took up his bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Now, out of all of the people that were sick in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't heal everybody. You remember the man, the impotent man that was sitting at the feet, there at the well of Bethesda. Jesus went to him and he couldn't get to the pool of water before when the angel stirred up the water. He couldn't get there because others would go in before him. And whoever went in first was healed. Everybody that was there were not healed. And if 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 10 people jumped in the water, only the first person that got in the water was healed. And Christ healed the impotent man, but he didn't heal anybody else. He had the power to heal all whom he wished, but he didn't heal anybody, but he did have the power to heal their sicknesses. And sometimes, even today, it seems to be that God heals some people's sicknesses. There have been more than one occasion that we have read of, and no doubt people that you have read about, and maybe some people that you knew that had some sickness. Sometimes it was sickness unto death, for as far as man was concerned, and people were given so many weeks or months to live, and they go back to the doctor for the checkup, and lo and behold, there's no sign of that disease. God healed the person. And not one time have I ever heard or read or anyone tell me that sometime after they were pronounced with this incurable sickness that they were going to die, that there was one day that all of a sudden something happened to them and they just knew they were healed. Many times the people would go back to the doctor and they run the same test, and lo and behold, the test showed no sign of the sickness. What I'm trying to say in this is that they were healed by the power of God, but it was not some force that knocked them over. There was not anything that they felt or anything of that nature. God just healed. And this man that had the palsy was laying on his bed. And it doesn't say when Jesus said to them, when he said, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thy house. It didn't say that he all of a sudden felt anything. He just got up. Just like we wake up in the morning, we're laying there in bed, and hardly ever, I can speak for myself, I don't ever remember laying there in bed and all of a sudden rush of power goes through me and boy, I'm just pop out of bed. Many times I want to roll over and take 40 more winks. There are some days when I wake up and feel more like getting up out of bed than other days. But the point is, there was no extra push. The only extra push that I ever have noted when I awaken is when I woke up and looked at the clock and I was running late. And then you jump up and you don't know whether to put your clothes on or try to wash up a little bit or what to do first. You're kind of sitting there in a tizzy or standing there in a tizzy, not knowing what to do first. And the only power that you feel is frustration as to wonder what to do first. But there's power. There was power that exercised in this man. And the same kind of power when Jesus said to the man, "Thy sins be forgiven," they were forgiven. How often, beloved, have you thought, or may have said, "If I could just really know that my sins were forgiven, if God would just do something that would let me know." What are we wanting? We're wanting some kind of an emotional or physical experience. But what do we have? We have just as much as this man did as he was laying on the bed when Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven." It's not a matter of an emotional experience or a physical force. It's a matter of believing God. God has said, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. It's just that simple and profound. People are always wanting some kind of emotional experience that they can feel forgiven. The Bible says if we confess our faults, if we confess our sins, God is what? Faithful and what? And just to forgive us our sins. That's the power of God. What is sin? You cannot put sin in a glass or in some container and measure it. You can't put a transgression or an iniquity in a glass and measure it or put it under the microscope. No more than you can put power under a microscope and dissect it. But they are real entities. They are real. And the power of God is real. And it's the power of God that forgives us of our sins. In Mark 3, verse 15, it says that he ordained 12 and sent them forth to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. I don't have that power. If I did, if you had a sickness and I had that power, I could just speak and it would be done. Or maybe put my hand on it. But the power did not come or would not come from my voice. It would not come from my hand. It would come from God. You remember the lame man that was set at the laid at the gate, the beautiful gate of the temple? Peter and John passed by begging alms. He begged alms of them. And what did Peter say? Silver and gold have I not, but such as I have give I to thee in the name of Jesus Christ. I rise up and walk. And he immediately leaped up, leaping and praising God. Well, the leaping and the praising, the leaping up didn't heal him. The leaping up was a sign that he was already healed. But what did Peter and John say when they were called on the carpet? They said, it's not by our power that this man is made whole, but by the power of Jesus, or in the name of Jesus. To be healed would be a great thing. But to have your sins forgiven is far greater. Far greater. And it is done by the same power of God as it is to heal the sick or to even cast out devils, like in Luke chapter 4. Verse 36, and they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. Look in Luke 5, verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Power of the Lord was present to heal them. So God has the power to heal the sick, to cast out the devils, and to forgive sins. And all he has to do is speak and it's done. He doesn't have to go through any formula, any any ritual or anything of that nature. Doesn't have to knock you over with a hammer. Doesn't have to knock you down to the ground. As he said to the sick of the palsy, thy sins are forgiven. It didn't even say that he said it with a loud voice. But it's by his power. By his power. Christ had the power to die and to raise himself up. Look at John 10. John 10. Verse 17 and 18. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. I don't have power to lay down my life. And if I were to kill myself, I wouldn't have the power to raise myself back up again. I've known people that tried to kill themselves. They didn't make it. They didn't have the power, though they tried. But if they had, they couldn't raise themselves back up. We don't know what all took place in that tomb before the women went to it early in the morning. Because before they got there, the Lord had already arisen. And in one case, it said that the napkin that was about his face was folded up and laid to one side. How did he get out of the grave clothes? You know, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, they went, and it says in John 18, I believe, or 19, that he was buried as the Jews bury. So he was wrapped from head to foot with grave clothes and also a napkin about his face. How did he raise himself up? You see, the grave clothes were not rent asunder as some Superman might do if he were wrapped up. You know, as Samson was bound with the cords, and Delilah said, "The Philistines be upon thee," he broke them. It says, as if they were tow. The grave clothes weren't split open like a cocoon. He spoke and it was done. The power of God. The power to die, the power to rise again. And it is the power of God that leaves men without excuse in the day of judgment. Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. People are without excuse in the day of judgment because they can see the result of God's power. And that the things that are clearly seen, the invisible things of the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. They were made by invisible things. They were made by God. And thankfully, saints are kept from falling by the power of God. Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Beginning at verse 3, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Somebody said, well, it's by your faith. Yes, but our faith is by the power of God too. We're kept by the power of God. We're kept by the power of God. The only reason, beloved, that we continue and persevere in faith is because God's power continues to work in us. It's not because of any virtue or power in us. It is the power of God that gives hope not only to the establishing of the kingdom of God in the day of Christ, but that He will bring the kingdom to its full glory. God showed in the Old Testament His judgment for sin. Genesis chapter 5 says over and over and over again, because of man's sinfulness, and he died. And he died. And so with regard to the kingdom of God, God's power was exhibited in the Old Testament not only by showing the death and people dying because of being sinners, but what is it that caused some of the animals of the ark to go into, some of the animals to go into the ark and others not? You ever thought about that? Look in Genesis chapter 7. Now what we're talking about is the kingdom of God. Genesis chapter 7, beginning at verse 7. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of clean beasts and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls and of everything that creepeth upon the earth, there went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. So we see that some went in, and it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. But the point is, some went in and others did not. And it was by the power of God that some animals went in and others did not. What does that teach you? That teaches you that God not only has power over life and death, but He has power over the animals. I looked the for certain animals going in and others not. I think I read the wrong verses for that. Let's see. will know it's the same place. And also, not only the animals, but the rains to descend and the waters to come up. God was in charge of all of that. Verse 17 of Genesis 7, and the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the waters went upon the face of, and the ark went upon the face of the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth. And all the hills that were under the whole heavens were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. Why is it that rain fell for 40 days and 40 nights? Why is it that water came up out of the earth? By the power of God. See, these are not just natural phenomena. The reason certain animals went in and others did not, it's not just a natural phenomena. It was the power of God. What caused Abraham to leave his homeland of who knows how many years? We know he was 75 in Haran, but he left there before that in Genesis 12. Now the Lord God had said unto Abram, Genesis 12, chapter 1, had said, he'd already said, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. What caused Abraham to go? And Hebrews chapter 11 said he went out not knowing whither he went. What would make a man just all of a sudden pick up his household and leave and not knowing where he's going? How would a woman like to be married to a man that says, we've been living here all of our life, we're going to go, we're going to leave here. Where are you going? I don't know. Well, what made you, why is it that you're going? Because God Almighty told me to. Well, who's God Almighty? We've been worshiping the God of sin. Ur had a ziggurat, and their God was named S-I-N. But they pick up and they leave. What power caused a dumb ass to see an angel and then start talking to a man? Look at Numbers chapter 22. Numbers chapter 22. Verse 22. And God's anger was kindled because he went, that is, because Balaam went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. Excuse me, I turned two pages at once. And the ass saw the angel. Balaam didn't see the angel. The two servants didn't see the angel. But the ass did. So the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field, and Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ash saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself unto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where it was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ash saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down upon under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ash with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ash, that she said unto Balaam, What have I done unto thee, that thou hast smitten me these three times? That's not Francis the talking mule. And Balaam said unto the ash, Because thou hast mocked me, and I would there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill thee. And so on. But what made the ash talk? What made him see the angel? The power of God. God has power. What are we trying to show? God has power over the universe. He has power over man, animals. He has power over everything. Look in Isaiah chapter 11. We're talking about now, remember, we're talking about the kingdom of God. And we're looking at things in the Old Testament that give evidence that God controls everything for his kingdom. In Isaiah chapter 11, it says, well, I'm going to have to break into this. Now I'm going to begin at verse 1. If I don't get through, we'll finish this, Lord willing, next time. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord. What does that make you think of? The seven spirits that's talking about in Revelation, talking about the Spirit of God. And thou shalt make of him a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, talking about Christ. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. You believe he can do that? And with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Sound like Revelation 19. And righteousness shall be girded, be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. Why is this something mystical and spiritual, different from the rest of it? And the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion, and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, and their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. What did the lion eat when it went into the ark? It didn't eat meat. There was no meat eaten until after the flood. You believe God can restore this earth back to the way it was beforehand? You believe he can make a lion and a lamb to lie down together? He had a lion kill a prophet one time, and the lion stood there by the dead prophet and the prophet animal that he was riding on, and he didn't eat either one of them. You believe God can make the lamb and the wolf dwell together again? I do. What are we talking about? We're talking about the power of God. Somebody said, well, this is just spiritual life. This is talking about a God changing the heart of a sinner. Where do you get that idea? This is something that the stem of Jesse is going to do. Who's the stem of Jesse? Christ. It goes on to say in verse 7, and the cow and the bear shall feed, and the young one shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the suckling child shall play upon the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all what my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters covers the sea. I believe that day will happen. I believe there will be a day when the earth were the glory of the Lord, and the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters covers the sea. I believe God has that power to do it. He has the power over all of these things. Did not God control the good years and the bad years in Egypt and the various plagues in delivering Israel from Egypt? Did He not display His power over ruling the weather so that there would be good crop years and overrule the people so that they would plant good and cultivate and have good crops? And He also overruled the weather where there were bad years? Does He not establish nations and destroy nations? And gives hope of Him fulfilling prophecy concerning the kingdom of God? Let's look at some scriptures. First of all, in Genesis 41. Genesis 41. Verse 25. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. Verse 28. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh, what God is about to do, he showeth to Pharaoh. Verse 32. And for the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now Daniel 2. That's with Pharaoh. Daniel chapter 2. You know, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream and so on. Let's begin at verse 36. Daniel 2:36. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beast of the field and the fowl of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall rise another kingdom. Daniel is prophesying about kingdoms. Another kingdom inferior to thee. And another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. Now we know this second kingdom was the Medes and the Persians. Then the third kingdom was the Grecian Empire. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, the Roman Empire. For as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdue all things, as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. This is after the Roman Empire, sometime after the Roman Empire. But there shall be in it of strength of iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. He's talking about a kingdom now. Still the kingdom, we're talking about the kingdom of God. Whereas thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, and they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is mixed with clay. What are these 10 toes and so on? And in the days of these kings, these 10 kings, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, and the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. So what do we see in all of this? We see that God sets up kingdoms, he establishes kingdoms, he destroys kingdoms, and sets up, takes down, sets up, and so on. In Daniel 4, verse 25, the last part of that talks about that till Nebuchadnezzar would know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And we see the same thing in verses 34 and 35. And also in 5:21, where he speaks to Belshazzar, he talks about in the last part of that, about Nebuchadnezzar, till he knew that the Most High ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. Look in the 7th chapter of Daniel, beginning at verse 9. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was as white as snow, and hair of his head like the pure wool, his throne like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000s times 10,000 stood before him. And the judgment was set and the books were opened. What does that sound like? The last days. Or the last day. I beheld then because of the voice of great word which the horn spake. I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flames. Where do we find a beast being destroyed? In Revelation. As concerning the rest of the beasts, They had their dominions taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season in time. I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. We saw the Ancient of Days in verse 9. That's God. The Son of Man comes to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and kingdom, and all people, nations, language should serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Where do we find such a kingdom? In Revelation. Now, is the kingdom of heaven here now? Yes, it's here now. But we're going to see the culmination of the kingdom. But we're just looking at the Old Testament, how it prophesies of this kingdom. In chapter 9 of Daniel, 24 through 27, it talks about the 70 weeks that are determined. And it talks about at the ending of that 70 weeks, what's going to happen? To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness. Who did that? That was Christ. But it also talks about a break. It also talks about a restoring of the prince. Also talks about the overspreading of abomination and desolation till the consummation poured out on the desolate. We don't have time to read it all. But we also see in the Old Testament, like in Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53, that there's going to be a justification, justified in the righteousness of another. In other words, we see different prophecies of the Old Testament talking about different aspects of the kingdom. You think God can bring all of this about? By His power. He had power over the animals. He had power over creation. He had power over the animals in the ark. He had power over diseases. He has power over the resurrection. He has power over death. He has power over all of this. He has power to bring it to pass. Well, we're going to have to stop. Take this up, Lord willing, next time. But we're going to see some of these things that we just skipped around in the Old Testament to show the power of God. And we're going to see some of these things in the New Testament the next time, as well as some of these things that we'll look forward to when our Lord comes back the second time. You think He has power to bring these things to pass? He does. We don't have to explain anything away. Just take the Bible for what it says. Just like when it says He elected us in Christ before the world began. We don't have to explain that away and say that's Israel or something else like some people try to do. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for the power that You have to bring everything to pass as You say. You prophesied, we just read a smidgen in Daniel, a mini kingdom. We read with regard to the destruction of Egypt. And Egypt has never ever been the power that it was since the days of Moses. And even today, it's a nation that it's used, but it's kindly sitting on the sideline being used by other nations. Why? You're God. We have abundant testimony. As we sang earlier, you're just the same today. Thank you, our God, for being the great God that you are and have the power that you have in Jesus' name. Amen.